Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. Ellen here. Kathleen's there.
We are ready to go.
We're working on a new intro, everybody. I don't know why we're struggling here. But today we have the podcast episode title is The Banquet. We are going to be talking about the banquet of heaven and how sex plays into that. The wedding feast.
The wedding feast.
The banquet.
There's some great
feast.
Imagery of the wedding feast too, by the way.
Yeah.
Some great like paintings and art depicting the wedding feast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Ghent
maybe,
altarpiece.
Maybe we should pull one up for our
I'm gonna pull up the Ghent altarpiece. Yeah, if you're in our Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community, you get the full video and we're gonna pull up some pictures of some good ones.
There's one that I actually had in my my pre-Cana presentation, my NFP presentation for pre-Cana. I have one.
All right, we're going to pull up some images for those of you. If you want to see these images we're talking about, join the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. It's only $5 a month. Link to that's in the show notes. But let's start with a listener question. We answer a listener question at the beginning of every episode. There is an open question box. You're welcome to put questions in at any time. We're going to answer one each episode. And then at the end of the month, I am going to compile all the questions that were submitted for that month, because we're not going to get to all of them. And I'll be recording a video and putting that, into the exclusive community as well. So there's another reason for you to join.
That's right.
We'd love to have you in there. So this question, I love this question. It's the number one question I get and I'm just like, I'm so happy to answer it. How do I get started? Is the question.
And that's a great question.
Sorry, I giggled a little bit. Like, this is a solid question.
It is.
And I get it a lot because new people are coming to the podcast and finding me on Instagram all the time. And so I'm happy to answer this question as many times as I need to.
Yeah.
So getting started with NFP. There's a couple of things. So the first thing is that you need to figure out which method you want to learn. I've got a couple of resources for that. I have a method match, a little self-paced workshop. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's only $12. I tried to make it super affordable, low cost, but it's going to go through all of the major modern methods of fertility awareness so that you can kind of know, okay, like what is the difference between Creighton and Billings? What is the difference between Marquette and Boston Crosscheck? Why would I choose FEM over something else, right?
Right.
So it goes through all of those and then gives you some discernment questions, things like that. I also do one-on-one live method match coaching calls, 30 minutes. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well if you kind of want a little bit more help or kind of more personalized assistance. Or that's great if you are thinking about changing methods and you're not really sure. Those live coaching calls are great for that. But yeah, so that first step, figure out which method you're going to learn. Second step then is find an instructor. Please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram if you're like, hey, I want to do this method. Who's an instructor in that method? I'm happy to connect you with somebody. Also in that method match workshop, you get a list of instructors in various methods as well. So you'd get access to that. And then you got to sign up for a course. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I can just like learn. Once I figure out which method I want to do, I can just like learn it online. Please don't do that. If you're looking for high efficacy, if you're looking to avoid pregnancy, you got to work with an instructor. And then once you sign up for a course, like, you know, do the follow-up. I don't know how many couples I have taught that sign up for a class. They take the full class, which means like three different sessions, And then like usually instructors will have some amount of like kind of follow-up time included in that. I do 6 months. Some instructors do 9, some do 12. And like, it's like, hey, send your charts, you know, get feedback, stuff like that. And nobody does.
Right.
Nobody yeah. ever sends me their charts.
Yeah. I experience some the same a lot of the time. Yeah. Where like I have to reach out and be like, hey, give me your chart so I can make sure you're doing it right. And then it's like takes a couple days for them to even get back to me. It's like,
exactly.
I want to help so you.
Like your instructor is there to yeah. help you. You paid them to help you.
Yeah.
Let them mm-hmm. help you. And then, you know, I think then you're cooking with gas.
There you go.
So that's my couple of steps of getting started. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the banquet.
Let's talk about it.
So I'm going to share a story. I'm leaving this anonymous, but this is a conversation I had with someone a while ago. And it's one of those conversations. Do you ever, Kathleen, do you get into a conversation mm-hmm. and you talk to someone mm-hmm. and they like bring up like a solid point or question that you know is not correct and you know there's a good answer to it?
Yep.
But at the moment... You
just like go
it.
Blank. Yeah. You're like, yeah. come Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's like, not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. And maybe that's why yeah. the Holy Spirit did not come to me in this moment, because maybe somebody else needs to hear this. But yeah, several weeks later, I was like reflecting on this conversation. I was like, oh, that's what I should have said. Mm-hmm. Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar.
All right. So here's the situation, and I may not even have the situation exactly right. This person's going to like listen to this episode and be like, that's not actually the situation, but I know she's talking about me.
That's actually pretty hysterical.
So maybe that's good. If I accidentally like mess up the situation, then it can be less traced back to the said person.
Right.
Okay. So husband and wife, the wife had, a miscarriage, and for certain medical reasons, abstinence is required for more than a year. Mm-hmm. It's just completely off the table. Sex is completely off the table. Not for reasons of avoiding pregnancy, but for medical reasons. There is no option to have sex right. for medical reasons. And so in that case, you know, what love is demanding in this relationship is abstinence. That is what love is demanding. Mm-hmm. And love is demanding something really, really hard. Like, I am not discounting the fact that more than a year of abstinence is hard.
It's really hard. That's very
really
hard.
Hard. Mm-hmm. For a lot, I mean, really hard for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But here's something else that a full year of abstinence does. Is it rips a gaping hole into any kind of facade that was put up on the foundation of the mm-hmm. marriage if there are issues that yeah. need to be addressed, intimacy issues.
Right.
And so I think that's what this couple found. Is the rip in the facade opened up the fact that there are some deeper issues. Now, what happens a lot is sex is that facade, right? Sex covers up intimacy issues. This is human nature. Sex is great. It feels good. It is wonderful. It is unitive. It is procreative. It is a gift from God, right? Of course, a husband and wife would want to have sex with each other. I'm not discounting that any at all.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But as we've talked about a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about how sex should be the fruit of a healthy and mature intimate relationship. It should not be the glue that holds a relationship together. And yeah. so if sex is off the table for more than a year, if your marriage is suddenly on the rocks, that is a big red flag for deeper intimacy issues that maybe takes counseling, that takes deep conversation, that mm-hmm. takes learning. Maybe you need to read some books together. Maybe you need to dive into some John Paul II. Maybe you need to read some Gary Chapman, do the five love yeah. languages, mm-hmm. right? Like, maybe you just need to like work, do some like marriage, there's a I'm going to put a link to the show notes. I think it's called Forever. It's like a marriage devotional to do together that you like you do once a week. And it's pretty good. I can't remember who it's by, but I'll put a link in the show notes to that one. My husband and I did it several years ago and we liked it.
Actually, there's a new book I was just gifted, so I haven't even started it yet, literally this past weekend. It's The Rule, and it's writings of JP2 that were just translated into English.
Ooh.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up so I can get you the full title. But it's another, it's like the rules of, the rule, St. John Paul II's rule for a joy-filled marriage of divine love.
Well, I need to read that book.
Yeah. Obviously. I literally, it's brand new. And a friend just gifted it to me this weekend. So I'm excited to start that one.
Yeah. That's, that's going on my Amazon list.
If it's JP2 and marriage, please, you're good. It's golden. I don't even need to read it to recommend it.
Right.
It'll be fine.
We know that one's going to be a solid. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's head back to this conversation that I was having with this person. So, this more than a year of abstinence just ripped holes in their marriage, and it was on the rocks. And so what they turned to was essentially like mutual masturbation, but like hand jobs. So I don't know if there's a specific word for that, but just giving each other like mutual hand jobs.
Yeah.
And this person was like, look, things are amazing now. Things are really, really good right now. And maybe things just aren't supposed to be this good.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thought in my head when he said, oh, maybe things aren't supposed to be this good, what I wish I had said to him is, yeah, things aren't supposed to be that good. They're supposed to be better.
Mm.
They're supposed to be so much better than what you're dealing with right now. What I did say to him is, this is something that Christopher West uses a lot, is this analogy of fast food versus the banquet, and how we in our fallen state turn to fast food of things that are easier, more pleasurable, all of these kind of things, rather than turning toward the banquet that is the heavenly wedding feast.
Yeah.
And so I shared this with him. I was like, look, like what you're doing is eating fast food. And then what he returned to me was, I'm literally just walking through this conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
Sharing how I wish I had said different things. He had said, well, isn't it better to eat something than to be starved? And I was so shocked by that response that I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Because I knew that wasn't right. But I just, also it was like really early in the morning and like, I was a little tired. I'm just going to throw that out there, right?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't like on my A game.
Yeah.
Here's what he was doing when he said, isn't it better to eat fast food than to starve? He was idolizing sex. He was making an idol out of sex. He was saying that sex is the end all be all. Sex is the banquet. Sex is the best that it can be. That is not what sex is. Sex is a window into the heavenly banquet. And sometimes God closes that window. And it is our job, when God closes that window, he closes that window in order to help us grow in holiness and us to grow in longing for heaven. So he closes that window sometimes. He puts the window of sex off the table, right? So whether that is abstinence for 1 to 2 weeks because you're avoiding pregnancy, or abstinence for more than a year because you have medical issues. He closes that window to show you that, look, you don't love me as much as you need to. If you want to get to heaven, you need to want me before anything else. And right now you are idolizing this window that I gave you. You're looking at the window and you're saying, this is it. This is the number one.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
You want to know somebody who God closed the window on for like 50 years? I might not have that number right.
I don't know. But for like a long time.
But like a long time.
Yeah.
Her name is Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Yeah.
She lived in darkness. She had no spiritual consolation for decades of her life. Do you think that she is upset with herself that she didn't go ahead and go eat some fast food while she felt like she was starving? She felt like she was starving.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't even see the banquet. God had closed the window. But she trusted that the banquet was there.
Mm-hmm.
And she trusted the one whom she loved above all else. Because really, do we actually love Jesus above all else?
Yeah.
I think Mother Teresa, like one of her quotes is like, my all in all. Maybe that's just a name of one of her books. But I think she said that.
Yeah.
My all in all. Is Jesus your all in all, or did you make sex your all in all?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you made sex your all in all, you're missing the mark. And what is missing the mark? Missing the mark is sinning. I think a lot of times we think of sinning as, oh, I'm breaking a rule, right? And so I need to go like confess that I broke this rule. No, we can follow the rules and still be stuck in sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can follow the rules of having, you know, self-giving sex and still, you know, like, well, maybe not quite self-giving, but like we can follow the rules of like only doing what is moral in sex, you know, not masturbating. We can, you know, not do any of these unethical sexual things, right? We can follow all of those rules and still be stuck in sin because we're idolizing sex. And that doesn't make sex bad.
Yeah.
Sex is so good that it's easy to idolize.
That's what I was going to say, is I feel like it's so easy for us to look at sex knowing that it's a good and that the church loves it and that God wants it for us, right? And that it is unitive, right? Like it is a unique expression of love that only husband and wife should share with each other, right? That it's so unique and profound that we get stuck on that and we say, oh, well, no, sex is good. So to take it off the table for this really long period of time, that's not good. Like we need to still find ways to enjoy it. Right. Like while not being able to fully, like it's okay that we find ways to enjoy it because it's what God wants of us. Right. It's what God wants for us. It is a gift from God. And so therefore I should enjoy this gift. Right. When really, and we have a whole episode on this, like you were talking about icon versus idol, right? Like, I think that's a question that we all need to constantly ask ourselves, because when you are looking at sex, like you're in the window, right? Like it's hard to remember that it's a window. And so you need to almost back up so you can see the frame, right? And be like, oh no, this is a window. It's not the thing. It's the window. And the way that we can back up to see the frame is by constantly asking ourselves, am I treating this as icon or am I treating this as idol? And then it pushes you back to see the frame, right?
Like, you know, what else makes you step back and look at the frame is when you have abstinence for a few weeks. Like, right, like that, if you have to step back from the window, then you see the frame.
Yeah. But I think even sometimes for, and I'm speaking from experience here, right? Like, I'm speaking not as one who's like pointing to you, like, this is what others experience or what you should do. I'm pointing like to myself here. Okay. Like,
because this podcast is really just for Ellen and Kathleen to like deal with our own issues.
Kathleen is a fallible person and a major sinner, just like everybody else, right? That sometimes we don't like, we look at how abstinence is not the ideal, right? And how it's not what we want, but we can use abstinence and try to stay stuck in the window by saying those things like we just said, where it's just like, no, but this is unitive and a gift. So God still wants me to enjoy it, right? But so you can still kind of be having to abstain, but stay stuck in the window by saying things like, oh yeah, well, we can just like hand jobs are fine, right? Like it'll be fine because God wants us to still remain connected and united. But that question of, am I treating sex as icon or idol really like forces you. That's what really forces you to stay back. Abstinence can.
Yeah.
But only with the right mindset of icon or idol, I think.
Because I'm thinking about like the people I come into contact with who basically are white knuckling it through times of abstinence.
Yeah.
What they're doing in that situation is, okay, have to abstain, step away from the window, and they do this.
Yeah.
Sorry. For those of you listening, I just covered my eyes.
Yeah. See no evil.
They're like, okay, abstinence, or, you know, we have to abstain. Sex is completely off the table. I can't even be in the same room as my wife. We can't even share a bed. I've talked to people who have to do that during times of abstinence.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're shutting your eyes and you're like, wow, because I can't have sex, that means I cannot enjoy anything. I cannot even, I can't even sleep in the same bed as my husband or wife. If you're experiencing that, you're idolizing sex.
Yeah.
And like, I think we've kind of said, we've said some pretty harsh things. I've said some pretty harsh things in this episode. And you might be like, whoa.
You're going to lose some followers from this one, Ellen.
I'm going to, right? You're like, I'm done listening to Ellen and Kathleen. I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm passionate about this because I really want you to get to heaven.
Yeah.
I really want to get to heaven, and I'm not perfect at these things, right? And like, look, here's the deal. If you are idolizing sex, you're not ready for heaven. Now, by the grace of God, we have things like purgatory, right?
Yeah.
And we can trust in God's mercy that even though we are stuck in sin, we'll eventually still get to heaven because we have this wonderful time of cleansing and purification of purgatory, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody's going to hell. Like, that's not... that was the case,
don't take that message out of here. Yeah.
Like, please, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if you work on this now, if you work on this issue of idolizing sex now, if you work on this issue of sin now,
yeah,
that's less time in purgatory. That means you're more ready for heaven. And look, I want to be in heaven the second I die. I don't want to spend time in purgatory.
No. I don't either.
I mean, I will. I will.
Kind of scared of purgatory too. It's okay.
You know, I'm kind of scared of purgatory, but at the same time, I'm like, I need this so much. I need purgatory so much. Right?
I know. Seriously though.
And like, thank you God that purgatory exists. Like, how amazing, right? That we don't just like, it's not 100% on like everything we've done in life here on Earth.
Don't exactly want like hot coals in my mouth. It's not It's not the vibe I'm going for, but you know,
I imagine it like walking. I'm just like walking through this burning fire of God's love, and it's burning off all of the sin, and it hurts. It's going to hurt so bad, but also it's going to hurt so good.
Hurt so good.
Right.
Come on, baby, make it. Okay.
Let's start singing more in podcast.
We should.
I love it. Okay. Hey, let's share some of these images of the banquet that we have. Yeah.
Did you pull some up?
I did. I pulled up the Ghent altarpiece.
That one's a beautiful one.
Yeah. I'm going to pull this up. Hopefully I pulled it up correctly. Okay. The Ghent altarpiece, if you're listening, like, please go look
up
the Ghent altarpiece. This is just by the way, this picture is like just a small panel of it. There are multiple panels to the Ghent altarpiece, but like what we're seeing here is we're seeing like the sacrifice of the lamb, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
And like, if you get like up close to this picture, the lamb's face is like very personified, like it looks like a person. Oh my gosh, it's so cool. And there's
gorgeous,
angels that are really, really close, and then there's like the saints are here. And oh my gosh, it's just like,
It's
amazing.
It's beautiful. It is.
Do you have
beautiful.
One?
To share? I do. I'm like trying to find it though. I don't know why I can't.
But guys, this is it. How we interact with these windows to heaven that God gives us.
Yeah.
That's it. That defines our eternity. How we interact with these things. And I feel like lately I've had so many conversations with people that have just given up in their ability to interact with these things differently. They've just kind of said things like, oh, my husband and I could never abstain from sex because that would ruin our marriage.
Yeah.
No, it won't ruin your marriage. It's going to open up some wounds of your marriage. Ooh. All right, Kathleen just pulled up another incredible image of the. I love this one, right? You've got like, what is this one called?
Oh my gosh, I totally forget, honestly.
All right, we'll put a link in the show notes.
It's in my slides, but we'll find it and put it in the slides.
We'll put a link in the show notes, but basically, there's the mass is happening on the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
And then heaven is above that. Christ in majesty is like sitting right above the Eucharist, and the Holy Spirit is in between Christ in majesty and the Eucharist that's on the altar.
And then
God the Father is above. Oh gosh. It's so good.
And
and the saints are on this like level with Christ in majesty. Mary's there. John's there.
It's like, you still have like the church suffering and the church triumphant, right? Like the levels of saints, and people.
So good.
Yeah. It's
so good.
Pretty great.
Guys, God really, he wants us to treat these windows like windows, because he's giving us this window into the eternal banquet that is so glorious, glorious beyond our imagining.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you like sex, you know nothing of the glory of heaven.
Amen.
I think that's it, guys.
It's a mic drop right there. You know, nothing really left to say. So we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.